Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Whenever and wherever you're listening to this podcast, you are very welcome. Welcome to Rugby News. This week we have a roundup of local news, hearing about the next climate change event run by the County Council, finding out if you or anyone you know are missing out on the millions of pounds in government support that goes unclaimed every year, and the incredible news for one of the town's most cherished charities. An on-the-spot feature on the protests about the proposed closures of the 25-bed Hoskin ward in our Hospital of St Cross, and the high-risk weather forecast. You know what they say, they're wrong as often as they're right, but we'll have a go. Anyway, let's kick off then with the local news as of today, the 21st of November 2024. And now, with thanks mainly to the local paper, The Rugby Observer, I can bring you a quick roundup of the local news for the past week. For more detail, visit www.rugbyobserver.co.uk/news. So, following the recent Borough Council event looking at climate change, the policy areas that the Borough and County Councils need to develop and actions we all need to take, I reported on this on a previous podcast, the County Council is organising a free online event further exploring climate change in Warwickshire. Climate Adaptation in Warwickshire, What is Coming, How Can We Prepare? Which takes place online on Monday, November the 25th at 7:30 p.m. It's organised by the Warwickshire Climate Alliance and will explore the challenges posed by climate change in Warwickshire and what actions can be taken to prepare for its impacts. There'll be expert insights, a presentation from Matt Whitehead, Warwickshire County Council's climate change lead, and Becky Davis, Climate Adaptation Officer at Warwick District Council. Topics covered at the event will include flooding, you'll remember what happened in Wolston earlier on this year, extreme weather resilience, and nature-based solutions. Attendees will have the opportunity to learn from experts and join the conversation about how Warwickshire can adapt to a changing climate. To reserve a place, visit www.sustainablewarwickshire and click on Events. Hundreds of rugby residents could be missing out on benefits and other financial support to help with the cost of living. Rugby Borough Council has written to nearly 1,000 residents currently claiming council tax reduction or housing benefit to raise awareness of the support that is on offer. But they've urged all residents worried about winter bills to check their eligibility for help. It seems that every year, £23 billion of benefits go unclaimed in the UK, with over 1 million eligible pensioners missing out on at least £3,778 a year in attendance allowance, and even more failing to claim an average of £5,800 a year in universal credit. Other benefits thousands of people fail to claim include pension credit, carers allowance, and council tax reduction. The council has launched a new benefits calculator on its website, making it quick and easy for residents to check which benefits they're entitled to. So, if you're at all interested in whether you qualify for financial support or can help someone else less web savvy to find out, visit one of the two. www.rugby.gov.uk/winter support for just more information, or www.rugby.gov.uk/calculator to use the benefits calculator. That's www.rugby.gov.uk/winter support for more information, or www.rugby.gov.uk/calculator. And here's amazing news for one of our most important local charities in rugby, that's Hope 4. They have received royal recognition for their tireless work for nearly 20 years to end homelessness and poverty in rugby. Hope 4 have been chosen to receive the King's Award for Voluntary Service, the highest award a local voluntary group can receive in the UK, equivalent to an MBE. They're one of just two Warwickshire organisations to receive this prestigious award this year. Hope 4 started life as a soup kitchen in 2005, since expanding to create the Hope Centre, which works with people experiencing homelessness, and Rugby Food Bank. It also runs the town's winter shelter for homeless people in the colder months. Over 80 volunteers at the charity give over 10,000 hours of their time each year. Chair of Trustees Diana Mansell said, "This is a great honour, and I'm thrilled that our group's work has been recognised in this way. Working with people in crisis can be hard, because you see so many people struggling, but we know that what we do makes a real difference." Well, I think we should go and have a chat with them and find out more. And we'll do that in the next couple of weeks. Rugby Town's Christmas light switch-on took place this weekend, the big red switch-on button being pressed by three female Olympians from Rugby Town, rower Lauren Henry, canoeist Kimberly Woods and judoka Chelsea Giles. Crowds of 8,000 were expected, but the constant drizzle all day surely kept the numbers below that. Nonetheless, all seemed to have a great time with the attractions, including a fun fair, children's entertainment, face painting, street foods and stalls spread across most of the town centre areas. On the stage at the bottom of North Street, there was a continuous programme of live music and dance, including the excellent local bands Courthouse and the Mockingjays, and BBC Coventry and Warwickshire's introducing singing star, Thea. Unfortunately, the much-anticipated fireworks sadly failed to materialise, due, apparently, to budget constraints. The lights, however, burst into life and will continue burning bright into the night throughout much of the town centre all through the festive season. The event was delivered by Rugby First on behalf of Rugby Borough Council, and their business director, Linda Lowne, said, "We're really excited about this year's switch-on, but don't forget, the town centre is not just for Christmas, but the whole year, so please support our local businesses." But three Olympians from Rugby Town makes you proud, doesn't it? Gold-winning Lauren Henry was born and raised in Rugby and was a member of Team GB's triumphant women's quadruple sculls team at the Paris 2024 Olympics this summer. Rugby and rower Kimberly Woods won bronze medals in both the kayak cross and kayak singles events at the Paris Games, and Wollaston-based Chelsea Giles won bronze in the judo event at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. All three Olympians have been awarded the freedom of the borough, and deservedly so. A manhunt is underway to find the victim of an attack in Rugby. Police say that a witness called 999 to report disorder in the town late on the night of November the 11th. They reported that a man was being assaulted by a group of men in Hillmorton Road near the junction with Rainsbrook Avenue. Following the assault, the offenders and the victim left in two separate cars. Warwickshire Police have said that three men have now been arrested on suspicion of assault and they've been taken into custody, but they have yet to trace the victim. A Warwickshire Police spokesperson has urged the victim or anyone who knows him to call 999. They also want to hear from anyone who was in the area at just before midnight and may have witnessed the attack. Anyone with information that can help us locate the victim can call us on 999. And finally, a word to any drivers thinking they can break the speed limit and get away with it: your chances have greatly reduced. Because Warwickshire Police has taken delivery of three new speed enforcement vans to be deployed at more than 70 sites across the county. The vans will be positioned on the county's high harm routes with the aim of reducing the number of people killed or seriously injured on our roads. They're all fitted with improved cameras, providing clearer images and better facial identification of the driver. Gives them the ability to see if you're not wearing a seatbelt, using a mobile phone whilst driving, and more. ANPR is fitted to the front and rear of the vans, and they've got nighttime capability through infrared lighting. Police and Crime Commissioner Philip Seckham said, "I'm pleased to see this significant investment in road safety come to fruition as it moves us closer to our ambitious target of halving the number of people killed or seriously injured on our roads by 2030. We're also raising awareness through education and communications that we need all drivers to take responsibility for themselves and others' safety by always staying within the speed limit and at an appropriate speed for the conditions. If everyone can do this, our roads will become much safer immediately." And once again, our thanks mainly to the excellent local paper, the Rugby Observer. For more detail and more news, visit www.rugbyobserver.co.uk/news. Last Saturday morning, I was walking down the Hill Morton Road here in Rugby, and as I was passing through Whitehall Rec, I found a group of people gathering with an air of excited anticipation, and they were here preparing to go on a march, protesting their concerns about what's going on with our hospital of St Cross, the second march in a fortnight. I made my way over to talk to Tom Crinningham, one of the organisers, and he told me what sparked all this off in the first place.
Yeah, well, it all began with the closure of Hosking Ward, which is going to be closed December the 4th, I believe, and the loss of 25 medical beds and the loss of 41 jobs as well.
So you did a protest a couple of weeks ago. Did that have an effect?
It's got people around the table speaking, key stakeholders that are quite high up in the UHCW, well, at the top of the UHCW, to attend a meeting and discuss it.
Have you had that meeting?
The meeting was held yesterday.
And do you feel encouraged?
Yeah, it was a glimmer of hope from certain members of the at the meeting.
There'll be more planned if things don't change.
It certainly will be. Yeah, this is just the beginning. It's not the end.
The proposed closure of Hosking Ward comes on top of other recent reductions in services at St Cross. Another lady reminded me that last year saw the closure of the last local ambulance station.
And I think it's affecting people as well. It's taking ages for the ambulances to get through to the elderly and the young. Yes.
Are you confident that we can make things happen?
Yes, I am, if we all get together.
If we all get together.
Yes,
excellent.
That's the main thing.
There's 200 and odd people here, not 200 odd people, 200 and more here, and they're going to go on the march, and you're joining them?
I am. Yes, I am. Yes.
All right, well, have a good time. I might see you at the other end.
Yes.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Well, through the town they marched, drawing supportive cheers and honking horns as they went. And at Caldecott Park, I found it was a good-sized crowd of 200 to 300 or so being addressed by local councillors and trade union reps. One member of the crowd summed up the concerns very well.
They got rid of the A&E through the back door by shipping things over to Coventry, slowly but surely, over the years. Back, go back to the 80s when I was growing up. There was every service here. Ambulances, A&Es, wards, surgical. It was all there. They took everything out.
All set against the background that Rugby is one of the fastest growing towns in the Midlands.
In the West Midlands. If it's the fastest growing town, why is its NHS services getting less for more people?
So why are services getting less? Our new MP, John Slinger, was not there, but he tells us through a lengthy statement he made the day before that he is on the case. And I paraphrase his words. "Today I chaired a vital meeting at the Hospital of St Cross in Rugby. I know that many members of the public are concerned about healthcare provision at the Hospital of St Cross. That's why, since the news broke on social media about the closure of Hosking Ward last month, I've taken action in the interests of my constituents. For today's meeting, we gathered local NHS leaders, campaigners and councillors to address public concerns surrounding the recent closure of Hosking Ward and discuss the long-term plans for healthcare services in our community. I convened this meeting after the NHS Trust announced the ward closure, a decision that sparked significant concern across Rugby. Alongside borough and county council leaders, Health Watch, the Rugby Health Improvement Forum and local campaigners, including those organising the upcoming march, I aimed to provide a constructive forum where local stakeholders could hear directly from the CEOs of University Hospital Coventry and Warwickshire NHS Trust and the Warwickshire Integrated Care Board. They shared updates on the ward closure, investment plans for St Cross, and broader healthcare strategies for the area. This open dialogue ensured every person had the chance to ask questions and engage with those responsible for making these decisions. Since news of the closure emerged, I've been focused on understanding and addressing the community's concerns. While I respect those who will march on Saturday, I believe that today's forum is a more constructive way for me to engage on these important issues. We've agreed to hold further meetings to maintain transparency and foster ongoing dialogue between the public, local representatives and NHS leaders. I'm also proud to support the Labour government's £25.7 billion investment in the NHS, the largest funding increase. So, there we have it. We're in the middle of a developing story. Many in the community see what has changed at St Cross over many years as going backwards. And it would appear that the rising chorus of concerns for the provision of healthcare across all areas has succeeded in bringing the politicians and decision makers to the table. If it's the fastest growing town, why is its NHS services getting less? As the lady said earlier on, it's better to work together, to talk, to listen, to understand, and to work out a way forward. Well, when there's more on this story, I'll bring it to you. Okay, a shot at the weather. Friday will be bright, sunny day, but perilously cold, as we've recently got used to. Saturday and Sunday, we'll see very gusty winds over 40 miles an hour, but the temperatures will change significantly. Friday's daytime of 3 degrees centigrade moves up 10 degrees to 13 on Saturday and Sunday. Both days are going to see plenty of rain. Monday and Tuesday, dry with plenty of bright sunny intervals among the light cloud, and the winds drop to a moderate breeze. Wednesday starts off misty, but once it's cleared, we'll get light cloud and sunny intervals until drizzle at about tea time. Thursday starts with drizzle, but turns dry, leaving us with another dry day of light cloud and sunny intervals. Temperatures generally 9 degrees centigrade, falling to about 3 at night. How about that? I'll see you next week and we'll see if it was any good. Okay, we've pretty much reached the end of this podcast and thank you so much for staying with it. I'm aiming to publish a new one once a week, out on Thursday or Friday, ready for the weekend. Over time, I'm thinking it would be interesting to add an entertainment guide, sort of what's on in and around the town in the next fortnight. Would that be interesting? And also, I want to bring to a wider audience some of the hidden histories of this extraordinary town that are truly amazing, showing how Rugby Town has influenced and changed the world. I hope you liked what you heard, found it useful, and you want more. If you did, thank you. Please like it. Please subscribe. And if you have ideas about how it can be better, where it could be improved, do let me know in the comments. Or you could email me, simon.rugby.news@gmail.com. Okay, thanks again for listening. Catch up with you next week. Goodbye.